I think all of us are familiar with the first sin ever committed in human history, the disobedience of Adam and Eve to God's command in the Garden of Eden. We often don't stop to think much about the second sin recorded in the Bible, when Cain kills his brother Abel in cold blood because he's jealous that Adam's sacrificial offering, or Abel's sacrificial offering, was pleasing to God, and his own offering from his excess was not. We read this account in sacred scripture and are horrified by the sheer violence of it. Most of us have never experienced anything of the kind, and most normal people think, how could anyone ever do such a thing? I think it's important, though, that we not get too self-righteous and comfortable here, because what Cain did to his brother's body, we often do to other souls. Spiritual fratricide is a perennial temptation among us. And Matthew chapter 5 gives us a chilling account of what it is like. Cain was punished by exile for killing his brother's body. And here, Jesus tells us, whoever is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. Why does Jesus insist so much on this point? Well, there are several reasons. First of all, the fact that our human nature is fallen means that our relationships with others easily disintegrate into disorder. When we feel hurt or threatened or otherwise compromised, we have an uncanny ability to think our self-preservation consists in lashing out, rejecting others. And we can conflate anything and everything to twist into knots an entire narrative of events which scarcely bears resemblance to the reality of a situation. We also have a marked propensity to jump to conclusions, to judge rashly, and to cast people into outer darkness. And if you're hearing that this morning and thinking, Father, don't you think you're exaggerating just a little bit here? Open any social media platform and you'll see it, right? As much as we demand that others tell us the truth, we often find it very difficult to let a calm, objective assessment of a situation get in the way of our emotions. And we do this not only to people we know and love, but even to people that we've never met and have no dealings with. The whole sad history of warfare through history bears out the truth that revolution starts in the darkness of the human heart. How often do we permit ourselves the most outrageous claims against celebrities, politicians, and churchmen? As often as we do the same against our spouses, our parents, and our children. But this isn't God's will for us, right? We are made for authentic, happy relationships. God doesn't want all of this strife and discord for us. Jesus shows us the way of true discipleship. We accept the other as they are. We love them, even when they're not being very lovable. We realize that we can never really know why people do what they do, and we cannot judge, much less cast the other into oblivion, which belongs to God alone to do. We're called by God to be sowers of peace in the world. And we have to do that through our humility, by bearing each other's burdens. And sometimes that means suffering. Suffering for and on behalf of others. Offering that suffering as a precious sacrifice for the redemption of souls. In the scriptures, God reveals his inner nature, who he is, as love. We who have been baptized into the life of the Trinity, we who have taken on Christ, are transformed, if we let it, right, by the love of God. And when we fail in this regard, we don't just commit an indiscretion against another person, we betray the very nature of God himself, which is why sins against charity are the most serious sins. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Our Lord reminds us that our lack of charity can get us into trouble in this life, right, being hauled before courts of the law, like the Sanhedrin. You know, that word raca is kind of a weird word. It's nouning a verb, which means to spread or to stamp out. So it's kind of like the equivalent of saying, I hate this man so much, I want to see him crushed like a little bug. But sins against charity can cause us to lose heaven and end us up in hell. Gehenna was a place outside Jerusalem where kings of Judah who had apostatized burnt their offspring as sacrifices to pagan gods. And the true God cursed it. Jesus uses the term 11 times to refer to a place of unquenchable fire where body and soul are tormented as punishment for sin. You know, sometimes you get these people who are like, well, my God would never do that to anyone. Well, you need to listen to the true God who speaks in the Bible, right? But is there a way out? What if we have committed a sin against charity? Are we just to stick our head in the sand, pretend it'll go away, and just try and do better next time? Jesus gives us an instruction, right? If you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar, go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. As Christians, we pray, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We've been pardoned by a merciful and amazing God who is always the God of second chances. Because we have been bought with a price, with the precious blood of the Lamb, we too must be a people of forgiveness and reconciliation. It is the only path to true freedom and happiness in this life. It is the only sure way to heaven. I'm going to tell you something this morning which is not going to sit well with some of you, but I've got to say it. Don't wait for someone else to apologize. Don't wait for the other to admit that they've wronged you. Don't wait for things to just work themselves out. Be brave. Be bold, knowing that God, who is the source of all pardon and peace, can heal the brokenhearted and bind up all of our wounds if we faithfully imitate him in his mercy. And, you know, even if it doesn't work, you might try it and it doesn't work out. That happens sometimes too. Even if our attempt to be like Jesus in this matter is rejected and fails, it hasn't really. God sees our hearts, and he wants our good even more than we do. He will bless us when we seek his kingdom, and he will forgive us when we lose sight of the way.